change it for?
Because it went on.
Okay. This morning we'll be in chapter 7 of the Revelation. And I'll read it first and then we'll come back and discuss it. Verse 1 starts out and says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.' And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb.' And all the angels stood round about the throne, and around, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.' And one of the elders answered and saying unto me, 'What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.'" Man, there's stuff in there that explodes religion. It totally explodes religion if they just stop and listen to it.
I like how it explodes religion, but it exposes the truth.
Sure it does. Sure it does. And you know, I could go back and do this book again in a year or so from now, and it'd be the same. It'd be the same thing. It'd be even more. It just keeps magnifying. You know, your eyes can see things differently. In verse 1 it says, "And after these things," and the word "after" isn't even in the language. The word there should be "amid" or "in the midst of." While this other stuff's going on, you're seeing other things. It's like they're all tied together. Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. Well, one thing's happening, I'm already seeing something else coming along.
We've been there.
I guarantee you. There's multiple things happening at the same time. And by saying this "after" thing, it's like, okay, this is the way people think because of this word "after" and the same thought process that they're teaching in this, is this isn't going to happen until after this is finished. Mm-hmm. And that's not the truth. You can have 3 or 4, 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 lined up at the same time. The weather, they call that the training effect. You know, just like one car right behind another, you know. And that's the way things happen. It's God's timing the way He wants it. But the church has tried to make it that it only happens this way, that put it in a box. You can't put it in a box.
It's got to be on board.
Try to control it.
It's all about control. So just that one little word, look what it does to your mindset, you know. Uh-huh. We're supposed to put on the mind of Christ. Is that not right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we put on the mind of Christ, we have to kick out all that crazy stuff. Just little one little word does that to us. Think how many other words they've got here stuck in here. If we don't get to look at them, we miss everything. But amid these things, I saw four angels. What is four?
Completeness.
See, so this is the complete angels, the mature angels. You know, complete can be mature, be full, okay? Messengers standing on the four corners of the earth. They're standing all over the earth, aren't they?
My earth.
Because the earth isn't square, is it? So there's no corners on the earth. Holding, or literally what? Restraining the four winds, is what I should say. Restraining the four winds of the earth in order that, not that, but in order that, because it's the word hina, it means in order that. In order that the wind, what is the wind?
It's the
spirit. Should not blow on the earth. What's the earth?
Me.
That's it. See, it's me. It's us. This is an internal book, correct?
Isn't that like Job when he put a hedge about?
Sure.
About you.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But not to blow on the earth, nor on the sea. What's the sea?
Humanity.
It's the multitudes of humanity. Nor on any tree. What's the tree?
Humanity again.
See? And when it says any tree, it says it should be, it's the word pos, it should be all trees. Don't blow on any of the trees until I tell you. So who's in control?
God. Spirit.
These people say, well, you've got a free will. What world do you live in? Right? And in verse 2, he goes on and says, and I saw another angel ascending from the east. Another angel, another messenger. Wonder who this messenger might be. Because he had the seal of the living God. What do you think the seal of the living God is?
It's the Spirit.
The Spirit of God. See? So, what angel has the Spirit of God? Now, when we're talking about angels, if we were talking about some kind of inhuman being, what they're talking about angels, one thing. But we're talking about
a messenger.
A messenger.
Mm-hmm.
See, what messenger came with the Spirit of God?
Christ.
See, if you just stop and think each one of these little details, it just opens the picture up.
If you look at that, I came with a message.
Sure.
I came with a message.
Well, were we not in him?
Yeah.
From the very beginning?
Right.
He said, when I was crucified, you were crucified in me. When I were buried, you were buried in me. Mm-hmm. And when I resurrected, you were resurrected in me.
We all have the message in us.
And that's the thing. It seems so far out of the realm of thinking of humans that they can be equal with the Christ. But we all have the Christ, whether they know it or not, whether they act like it. But if God wants them to come to maturity, they will come to maturity.
That's, the church teaches them that they're not worthy of it.
They're not worthy because they're dirty, rotten sinners. Mm-hmm. And that's not the truth.
Coming back.
And keep coming and bring your checkbook. Cash will be accepted.
Credit cards. Too.
Credit cards, debit cards,
you
anything.
You can probably swipe them.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that a bit. There's places that do it.
The body of Christ.
Yeah.
Any individual in the body of Christ.
Anybody in the body of Christ is who we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that we're talking about the mature first fruit sons, literally. And he said, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels or the complete messengers. Who else is God going to really be talking to about giving instructions to help somebody?
Only the one that has ears to hear.
Only the ones that have ears to hear. And that's the blessed ones. That's mm-hmm. first fruit. To whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Now notice the earth and the sea, the dust and the sand. See, it's earthly stuff. The Spirit, when he says he was given to hurt them, do you think God sent him down here to punish people?
No.
The word of truth offends people. It hurts people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It hurts the flesh.
It's not
like he sent them down here to line them up and whip them or anything like that. It's just hearing that truth. When he releases that truth, that's what's going to happen. It's going to make people mad, isn't it? Then he said, it's a two-edged sword. And it said they died by the sword of God, didn't they? Which is the word. Not by an actual sword, but by the word of God. And with a loud voice to the mature angels, or mature messengers, to him was given to hurt the earth and the sea, which was the first two, the dust and the sand, you know. Woe to the inhabitants of what? What's it say in Revelation? 8:13. It's right there on the page. And I beheld and saw an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Mm-hmm. See, so it's woe, woe, woe.
Those puppies are out of there.
They're released. Right. And as they're released, I don't think God piles everything on us at one time.
It feels like it.
Sometimes, yeah. But he wants you to...
I have to argue that one.
It's probably
a couple weeks.
Yeah, you probably won't win, but I understand what you're saying. But the argument is that he won't put any more on you that you can stand. You may think you can't stand
That's
it.
That's a cute church saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
On the billboards.
When you want to say.
The one that can't.
What?
He won't put anything on you that you can't stand.
Yeah, yeah.
I said that's a cute billboard thing.
Yeah. Well, no, that's true. That's true. But what he does, he releases it. Just like he says here, he releases parts of them at a time, you know. And those, and it's when you come through a test, once you come through a test and you got it figured out, now it's time to move to the next test. That don't mean you're not in the process of seeing multiples, but they're not all going to dump on you. It just overwhelms you and there's no way you can do it.
Sometimes there's Elam.
There's a place to rest in the middle
I'm
of the
ready
desert.
For my summer vacation.
You ready for Elam? You ready to go to the beach?
Yeah, I am.
For a little bit.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Rest pause.
Yeah. Verse 3 says, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees." So he went all the way there. Don't hurt nobody. Mm-hmm. Right? He don't want anything hurt yet. "Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads, in their minds." Right? Let's see something here. Another part of the Revelation 14. Verse 1, it says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having their father's name written in their foreheads." You know what he's talking about right here? Don't hurt them till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. When he's brought the mind of Christ to the forefront, he said, don't try to test nobody till we get them ready. Mm-hmm. And when your mind is right, you can take any kind of test there is and walk through it with flying colors. Does it say you won't feel pain or suffering or anguish?
Still in the flesh.
You'll feel that stuff. There's a purpose for that stuff. You know, rejection. Jesus was rejected. He said he came to his own and they rejected him. Why? He didn't do anything wrong. He just told them the truth. But they were so caught up with the religion of the day, the Judaism. They were caught up in it so bad that they couldn't hear their Creator talking to them. And that's the same thing that we get into. We get caught up in so much about what religion has taught us versus what did God really say.
And then, like you said, the religion, if you've had all that tough thing, you think, well, okay, then I go to church on Sunday morning, and I've lived through all this hell this week, and he goes teaching about what we're going to have this summer,
rock climbing or a picnic or something.
He has no discernment that half of his congregation
is suffering.
Needs some truth and some hope and some
need some encouragement.
Guidance.
Some
yeah.
encouragement. Because they're listening out of this thing and not listening out of the Spirit.
Right. So you're there for
some recharging instead of this.
Yeah.
This. You
yeah.
know.
They could have stayed home and got that.
Yeah. Or these trinkets we got. You know.
Yeah. So we have to realize that the seal is the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ. And the Spirit of God is the mind of Christ. In verse 4 he goes on and says, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Now, we're not talking about a literal number here, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000. It's symbolic. What is the number 12?
The government.
It's a government. So he's saying each one of the different sections, and there's 12 tribes of Israel at the time, but Israel, the nation, with those 12 tribes, was not who he's even talking about today. He's talking about the 12 tribes of the spiritual, the heavenly vision that said where he saw them come down from heaven out from God, coming down from God into the earth. We're the earth, and that was what they were seeing, the truth coming in and residing in humanity. They're so far removed from what God is trying to tell us. And when he gets these 144,000 ready, then the rest of them can be taken care of.
And this is what I never could understand, that the church, gullible as they are, go and sit and still think that they are not the chosen ones. It's the Jews that's over in another country.
It died. It's already dead, you know.
Right.
But if you go by their thinking, if it's the Jews, but they don't believe in Christ, how could they be the chosen ones?
Yeah. But see, it's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
It can't work. It's impossible. But when it says that there were 144,000, which we know is all symbolism, from out of all the tribes of the sons, and that word children of Israel is weos, speaking mature sons of Israel. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, I want to read something in Galatians 6 and in Romans. I want to read you two things. I'll get Romans first. This is my pot. Romans 9:6. Okay, there it is. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. The ones that are of Israel are not all Israel. The ones Israelites, because of the big long nose and dark hair and dark skin,
that don't make you natural.
The natural Israel is not the one he's talking about.
No.
He's telling you they're not all Israel. Some of them are, but not all of them. Just like people that go to church, you think they're all right with God? No. I'd say closer to 99% of them ain't close. Because they're just doing what they're told. They've not studied themselves. And without someone, now we'll get into that later here too, but in this, God leads people to where the information is that can help them.
But they're usually led by their God and not
the Yeah, they're not
the
listening
God.
By the God. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the other one is Galatians 6. I'm just right there.
What verse is it?
6:16. Okay.
You'd actually do 15 with it to make it clear.
Yeah. Okay. Because in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature or a new creation is what it should say. It's the word ketesis. And as many as walk or live according to this rule, okay? What do you think that's all about?
Circumcision of the heart.
According to the rule of that new creation. We ought to live like the Christ, okay? Peace be on them and mercy. And upon the Israel of God. These little things, how they tie together, just mind-boggling how people that's been in this book for 20, 30, 40 years and see nothing.
But they just look at words.
Yeah, you said something though. They're just in the book.
Yeah, they just look at the book. They don't realize this book isn't holy. This book is just a road map of us how to get back.
On what translation you got, it's so convoluted that it doesn't make any sense to you. You don't know what you're reading.
Well, when you, I've showed some people just here of late, several people, it's been here, you know. I said, you know, let me show you something. I took them into the office. I said, I'm going to show you things where one word has 275 different English words in the New Testament. The Greek word genomei, 1096 in the Greek Strong's Greek Dictionary. And it means to cause to be, to generate, or become. Those are three legitimate meanings in the actual language. And there's 275 words like God forbid, fear, tremble, she be married, falling headlong, you know, just on and on and on and on, all these different words. How could you possibly read this and know anything about if you don't go inside of it and find out? And what did he say in Timothy? Study to show yourself approved, a workman of God that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing or accurately handling the word of truth.
Right.
If you don't know what it is, if you look at this word and say, okay, it says children right there, and it really says billy goats, I mean, how would you know what you're talking about? I mean, you have to find out. There's passages like I showed you back in, I think, in chapter 4, where there was four times the word was used in that first verse. I think it was in chapter 4. I think it was four times that the word, you know, in the midst of, the word meet of, four times in that verse is used in four different words.
Yeah.
How in the world can you understand it?
Yeah, it's confused.
Well, sure, even, you know, because you don't know it, it's the same word. You think it's accurate. And most people believe that because it's in a, it's bound in black and it's got gold letters on it and says King James Version of the Holy Bible, they believe it's God's Word. God's Word is not what's on this print. It's what is the Spirit is saying. So,
and you.
Huh?
The Spirit's saying in you.
That's right. They don't understand it because no one's ever showed them anything. God is not upset with those people in the least.
He can't be.
He's never given them the ability to see anything else. And when I say he's never given them the ability, when God first spoke to me, I was sitting in a church. But they wasn't hearing. Nobody else around me was hearing. But I heard things. Lois even told me, shh, be quiet. And I said, God's talking. I don't care what that guy's saying. I sat in the front row and said it. I don't care. Because I knew I was hearing God. Something much deeper than what he was talking about. The same passage he was in, it wasn't even close. But I could hear God speaking to me. I don't care what anybody else thinks, do you? I mean, I don't. I'm hearing God. God's more important than all the rest of it. So, and if God didn't give me the ability to see that stuff, I'd be just like everybody else, being happy as a pig, wallowing in slop in a big mud hole. I mean, that's where they're at. They're happy where they're at. And that's okay, because when God's ready for them, they're there. And he'll call them when it's his time. But it's his timing. Not, he said every man in his own order. The order that God has assigned to them, not what they choose. So, we'll get there.
You can't make them.
No. No.
Finishing up four.
Yeah, well, I'm finishing four.
Yeah.
Of the tribes of Judah. And really, and through these, the next three, you know, five, six, seven, and eight, those verses right there, those are talking about leadership. It's actually talking about the first fruit sons of God. And those 12 names give it like a progression of your growth in that realm of leadership. Okay. The first one, you're just happy and blessed. For Judah, Reuben was my wrestling. When you start to grow up, guess what happens? You start wrestling between what you've been told and what the truth is.
Behold a son.
Oh, I got the wrong. I'm sorry. I started way off. I missed it by one. I had them all separated there, and I missed it. Okay. Praise is the first one. You know, you're going to praise or celebrate from Judah. Then Reuben, you behold the son. You actually find out that there is one. Okay,
you are one.
And then it comes up to Gad, which is the troop. That's when they start gathering up. That's what the church calls. That's what we're supposed to do. But see, it's not about gathering up with a church group. It's about gathering up sons of God with the same spirit.
Isn't it realizing that you are a son and there's others out there that have the same spirit that you are?
I don't know if you would that early in your beginning of your walk. I think you're going to be seeing it a lot from the carnal side to start out with. Even though we're called to this by the Spirit of God, he doesn't change our thinking instantly. It's a process. So we're still going to see things naturally, and then we're going to start seeing parallels leading us back into the truth.
Well, what about when we were just talking about the tribes of the children, and they were the mature sons?
Okay, that's who they're called to be, but they haven't got there yet.
Okay.
It's a process of getting there. See, we were sons immediately when we were conceived, before the foundation of the world.
Right.
But we haven't come to the ability to deal with anything we got to deal with.
This would be kind of like your spiritual process.
Process of growing up. Right. Yeah. So, then we go to the tribe of Asher, which is happy and blessed. And then to Nephilim, which is the wrestling. Starting to see some things. Conflicts. And then Manasseh. You were caused to forget. You start realizing that God caused you, or in the Garden of Eden when he put him to sleep. Remember? He put Adam to sleep. Guess what? We're caused to forget. Sleep is also a point, you can say it's used for death. It's caused to...
refresh?
Well, it's called... No, it's not for refreshing, but when you use the word in the context of you were caused to forget, you can forget about who you are, and that's what we're talking about. You forget who you are because of what went down in the Garden of Eden when Adam chose to do things his way.
Forgetting your...
Your true identity, and we kind of lost it there. Okay? And now we're into verse 7. We got Simeon, which is hearing. The root of that's hearing. To hear or to not to hear. They were sealed 12,000. We know here this is the positive side, so we're talking about hearing. Next is Levi. Levi means joins or attached to. So we actually start realizing we're joined with another group of people. And we're not talking about a church group. We're talking about joined to the other sons of God, whoever they may be. And you'll run into people that you never seen before in your life, and you feel like, oh my God. You've known them all your life. Because they are you. You are them. You know, the body of Christ is many members, but there's one body. You see what I'm saying? So it's all about, you'll know it. I mean, I've met people all over this country and out of this country, and you just know that they are part of this body. We're all together. And we're not in the big groups. Never has been.
And that's what people can't understand, you know, whenever they run across someone like that. They're like, well, if this is true, then what do? Well, you stay out in the wilderness for a while and don't.
You just keep going. If you're in Elam, you sit there until he gives you command to leave. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, whichever way it is. Okay, the tribe of Issachar, that means recompense or reward. You come to a place when God begins to show you a little bit of reward for what your disciplines are. It's not like you're earning anything, but I think God gives us things to encourage us as we grow. Anybody who has struggled with things in life, when things turn around and start going to a positive side in your life, how much better do you feel? But it reinvigorates you to and have the strength to go on and face other things, doesn't it?
Sure.
Yeah. And God, that's that Elam, you know.
It also like recharges your battery.
Yeah, just like that's what Elam's all about. You go in there and get refreshed, get your batteries recharged, and move on down the road again. Okay, verse 8. Of the tribe of Zebulun, it's a habitation or a dwelling. When you really begin to realize you are the dwelling place of God, God does dwell in you. See, you're getting up in the order now. You're getting a place of maturity. You're starting to realize some things. And then you come to the tribe of Joseph. You know what it means? Yahweh has added. See, God's the one doing all the adding, subtracting, the multiplying, dividing, anything else that's going on. God's the one doing it. It's not you.
You start doing it, there's still a mixture.
Yeah. You have to let God do it all. And then the last one, Benjamin, son of my right hand, full power and authority. It's when you realize it's not about impressing anybody, but you have the authority for a whole lot of things.
Wisdom.
And that's what it is. But you have wisdom, but authority and power to accomplish things, but you don't do it on your own. You don't go out there to impress somebody and try to heal somebody. You don't go out there and try to do all these different things that you see the preachers on TV doing. I seen one this morning. Oh, he was just going up and down about some guy had a four-wheeler wreck and ripped his liver out or something.
The kid,
you know, tore him all upside. They thought he was going to die, but he said, I went and visited him, and he didn't even come to my church. Okay. What's that got to do with it? You know, but he was blowing his own horn. And he said, there he is back there right now. He's in my church now because I went and prayed for him like I healed him. I said, get out of here. And he said, and who's that beside him? Grandpa? Yeah, no. Now Grandpa was a hardcore Baptist, and look where he's at now, you know. God almighty. I mean, the arrogance and pride just make his...
Horn.
Oh.
Only thing missing is the elephants, huh?
Yeah. He had the elephants, he'd had a circus. He had the clowns.
He'd get a Nerf gun and shoot at
So anyway, these are processes. What I'm trying to show you, this is processes in your life, and you need to be able to relate to these things, different aspects of progression and of our growth spiritually. And after this, there's a lot of people that do a lot of work on the book of Revelation, but it's so daggone intellectual. And when it's intellectual, there'd be no fruit out of it. But when you understand this is for me, it's for now. I was told in the Methodist Church years ago, you're not even supposed to read the book of Revelation.
Why is it there?
They said, well, I said, where did you get that at? Because when I read it, it said, you're blessed if you read this. In the first few verses, it said, blessed is he that reads this book. And I said, where do you get we're not supposed to read it? And he said, in the book of Daniel, it says to go your way, and the book's closed up till near the end of time. I said, hello, that was the book of Daniel. That's got nothing to do with the book of Revelation. And they still couldn't see it. They said, no, that's what they say. Now that's what the seminaries teach. I said, well, there's cemeteries, all right. Oh, gosh.
Well, if you're not... But logically, if you're not supposed to read it, why is it even here?
Why is it even here? That, I mean, see, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Totally ridiculous.
Keep the blinders on.
That's all it's doing. Okay, verse 9. After this, again, it's the word meta, amid, or in among this. Amid this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations or kindreds or races. The word kindred should be races, and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. What are we talking about?
Righteousness.
It's the righteousness of Christ. And palms in her hands. What do palms always speak of?
Victory.
Yeah. Or worship.
Worship.
Worship or victory. It can be both.
Like the one where he says no one can number.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the problem is now.
They're all trying to number.
Trying
it, right?
To be numbered.
And the 10th verse, it goes on and says, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. Do you think God needs salvation? Where in the world did they get that one at?
Deliver.
Now, yeah, but look what it should say. There's other words there that mm-hmm. is twisted. When it says salvation to our God, that's not what it should be. It should be deliverance is of our God. Okay. Even if you want to leave the word salvation there, which is not correct. Salvation is from God on the cross through Christ, right?
Uh-huh.
See, it's not, God doesn't need salvation. Humanity needed salvation, right? And he gave it to us. Free gift. But anyway, deliverance is of our God, which sits upon the throne and the Lamb. The word unto the Lamb is unto is not there. That's a totally added word, the whole word unto. Okay, verse 11, and all the messengers stood round about the throne. I said messengers, it's angels, but it should be messengers. Stood round about the throne, and the elders and the four beasts. There was 24 elders and four beasts. What's 24 speak of?
Witness of the government of God, or it's complete God,
right.
Appearance.
Just complete God-man right there. The elders speaking of the mature sons.
Yeah.
Elders speak of maturity, okay? And the four beasts is the complete man there too, the complete man. And fell before the throne of their faces, on their faces, and worshiped God. And that word is proskuno. It means like a dog licking his master's hand, you know. That means unconditionally showing love, you know, no strings attached, just loving God. That's what they're showing. But see, worship, and I cannot find where worship is falling on your face. That's symbol. It's all symbolism, just submitting to God. Worship is not about physically doing things like raising your hands and clapping your hands and dancing and standing up, bowing, kneeling. All that stuff is not worship. Worship is imitation. And we're not talking about an imitation of God. We're saying we're imitating Christ. And if we're not, we are called to be imitators of Christ. Is that not true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we're called to be imitators, what should we be doing then?
Can we not say that's a reflection instead of imitator?
Well, but I'm just saying the language says it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a reflection, but yet we're supposed to do what he does, and not as a reflection, but we should be imitating whatever he does. If he's doing things right, what should we do?
Same
thing. That's all. And that's all it is. It's just symbolism, but it says we should be imitators. If we put on the mind of Christ, how could we do anything else but be an imitator of Christ? We'd be doing things for the right reasons. Jesus didn't run out and say, I think God's busy. I think I'll go out and take over the things for a while. Did he? He waited upon God. And how many times does it say, wait upon God? Not being in a hurry.
Yeah.
God's not in a hurry. We see things and say, oh my God, there's something coming here. We need to do something. And God's saying, I got this. I'll tell you when it's time. Maybe we need this big crash and burn, you know. Maybe. So, don't try to figure it out for God. Let God give you the direction. And don't think for a minute you can't hear God. He talks to you all the time. You got to slow down and hear that still, small voice inside of you. Don't try to run after the clouds and try to hear the thunder and lightning. Okay? Slow down. Don't worry about what's going to happen next. Because you know what? He's already got it taken care of. Hasn't he?
Yeah.
Don't worry about a thing. Put it in your life. You don't worry about a thing. That's be awesome. Anxious for what?
So Bob Marley awesome. Say, don't worry.
Don't worry. Be happy.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah. See, don't worry about anything. That's one thing I have been seeing so much in the last probably 5, 6, 7 years. How many singers from the 60s, 70s, and right on up, even in now, even after in this millennium, singers are saying things that are, and they're not church folk. They're not, quote, godly people according to the world standard, church world standard. These are people that are just singing from in here. And they're saying things that it has to be God. There's no other way it could come out. Just like the one Imagine by John Lennon. Have you ever listened to that thing, the words of it? That is as much reconciliation as anybody could ever, ever, ever preach.
He was probably inhibited.
He was what?
Probably on a...
No, that's probably where it comes out.
Absolutely.
You said inhibited. Well, that's holding you back.
Well,
he was free.
Free. Yeah, yeah. Uninhibited.
He was uninhibited, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of it comes out from. When you can let yourself go instead of living in the confines of our mind, them cells that are prison bars our minds put up, and let that thing loose, it's amazing what's inside there. It's God. Okay.
Isn't that what he said? A little wine?
Yeah. A little wine for stomach's sake or whatever else.
Yeah.
But, you know, when he said, you know, imagine no borders, no killing and nothing.
Nothing to die for.
Nothing to die for. Yeah. No borders, no countries, yeah. No races. We're all just a people. See? Mm-hmm. That's the message of reconciliation.
Well, what the Spirit's crying out for.
Sure. And he spoke by the Spirit.
He took out the resistance of the carnal mind, which is resistance to the flow of the Spirit.
Absolutely. And that's all it was. See? That's amazing. I'm blown away by it, and I see it all the time.
And if you look at the documentary when he made it, they tried to excommunicate him from the United States because
of it.
Yep.
Yep.
Because of what he stood for.
Verse 12 says, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. It says, be unto our God. No, it's not forever and ever. It's not what it really says. It should be our God's. He said all this stuff, wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might, be our God's. God's the one that possesses all these wonderful things. Right?
No.
But guess who we are?
God.
We're part of God. We're part of God.
Be unto is not even there.
No, be unto should be totally crossed out of it. And might, it says, be our gods. Should say, be our gods. You can add a word like be or something like that to make it speech, make the speech correct because of the translation between Greek and English. As long as it don't change the context. And it says, into the age of ages. Okay? Verse 13. And one of the elders responded, didn't answer. He responded, saying to me, not what are these, but who are these? Are people what's or are they who's?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, how come their brain can't pick up on that? See how bad it is? Which are arrayed in white robes, and not whence came they, but where did they come from, is what I should say. Where'd they come from?
What do you think?
And then look what he says. What'd you say?
Something to make you think.
Yeah. So he said, and said, and I said unto him, and this is John speaking, said, I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, okay, great pressures, and have washed their robes and made them white or righteous, right, in the blood of the Lamb. Now, when he said, when he asked him that in 13, who are these and where'd they come from? What was the challenge?
Wanting you to think who you
there
are.
There you go.
And the thing of it is whenever I read that part, I was like, that's the ones that was not numbered.
There you go. They're not numbered. There's many of them, but we don't know how many there are, and it doesn't make any difference. They just are. But it is what it is. But what I'm saying is, he was challenging you to think. All the time when Jesus taught, when all these great men of God taught, they challenge you to think for yourself. Don't take somebody else's word for everything. Challenge that word. How many times have you heard me say, I don't care, I'm not challenged. You can challenge me if you want to. I'm not intimidated by being challenged.
I remember challenging someone, and it wasn't this group here, and he said, but Lois, I'm concerned for you.
Yeah. I remember that one too. Okay, we'll move on. Verse 15. Therefore, and it should say, not therefore, it should say, through this thing, what thing are they talking about through? Back up the verses before. It says, they came through great tribulation.
Pressure.
And they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Through this thing.
The pressure.
See, the pressure, they washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb. What they actually did is, what's the word I'm looking for? They aligned themselves with the Christ when he was hung on the cross. Okay. You hear what I'm saying? See, they made themselves, that was them that was crucified with him. And it was them that was buried with him. And it's them that was resurrected with him. Not with him, but in him. They have aligned themselves with him in this thought process. Okay? That's what he's trying to get you to do. See who you are. When you see who you are, you'll act like who you are. You don't have to teach a dog to bark or a cat to meow, because they know who they are. They just be who they be. And that's what God's wanting us to do. Just be who we be. He didn't say, try to find a local preacher in a local congregation and see if you can act like him. Hell, I don't want to be a drug addict. I don't want to be a drunk. And I don't want to be a child molester. I don't want to be a liar. These guys that are building this piece out here for us, they got two sticks, and the guy, the lead man, came and said, you know what these are? I had these two sticks. And I said, no. He said, they're preachers. I said, what? He said, well, you know preachers don't lie. And I said, in what world do you live in? But those two sticks, they set between each one of those rafters up there, and that way they're always perfectly measured between one and the next.
They got the certain
templates, what I tried to use yesterday.
Yeah. And as, you know, when you set them in there, then it just automatically, they're the right place, and the measurement will be the same. They can put the metal roof on, and it's all lined up perfect. So they call them preachers. I said, I know what you're saying. He said, I know what you're saying too. He said it's a joke.
False teachers.
Yeah. But through this thing are they before, through all this pressure that we go through, okay? Extreme pressures. That word great is the big, is the word, by the way, is the word megas, which means big. Through big tribulation.
Huge.
Huge, yeah, huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they before the, through all of this, we are before the throne of God and serve him night and day in his temple. Uh-oh. Know you not that you are the temple of the living God? See, it's right here. By going through these things and experiencing these things and responding in the way that Jesus did. When he went through all of his tribulations, all of his pressures, when they were killing him, he said he did not respond in a negative way, did he? He kept his mouth closed. He went as a mute lamb. As a mute lamb.
That's tough.
I know that's tough, but that's the way he did it. See, he didn't. This ain't for faint-hearted.
That's really, that's spiritually minded. Here, I mean,
that's right.
You have to go to the Spirit. Hey, that's the only way.
Walking as the Son of God is not for wimps. Okay, you just got to know that. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell what? What's his last two words?
Among and them.
It's well, in them. God in dwells them. In. He dwells that's in his in. People, not among his people.
That's E-N.
Yeah, it's E-N, the Greek word, E-N. Verse 16. Okay, this temple word right here is the word naos. It's the holy place and the holy of holies. And we are the temple of God. That's 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Okay? Know you not that you are the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And going to see verse 16, it says, they shall hunger no more. In James it says, and in John 4:10-15, John 6:35, and John 7:37-39, if you hunger and thirst, you ask who? Ask God. He gives all things given to men liberally and upbraids you not. You know, if you want wisdom or anything. And it's not, we're not talking about food here, are we?
No.
We're talking about spiritual food for our minds, for our spirits. And neither thirst, and that's the same thing, you know, thirst anymore. Either shall the sun light upon them, okay? Nor, my eyes, I'm trying to see here. The light's not real good. Right? Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Do you know what that speaks of? The light shine on them, or any heat? The word actually comes from word I'm trying to say, ethos or something like that. I'm trying to pronounce it out of my mind.
Is that kind of like?
What is that?
The word light on them, or any heat on them, same thing.
Okay, well, it's pipto. Is that what it is? P-I-P-T-O for light.
Well, is that on the light word light? Okay, okay. That the sun before that.
Okay. Oh, that's helios.
It somehow ties together there. But anyway, that word actually is talking about painful, burning heat or suffering.
I was going to say helios. That sounds like what you used when you welded.
Yeah, helios.
Yeah.
But it's speaking of extreme heat, which is suffering.
Yeah, right here. That's...
I mean, it's part of the word.
Hell. I mean, really, well, I'm using
Well, but when you use that word, I try not to use that word because people misconstrue me using that word that I believe in hell, and I do not believe in hell.
I'm talking about the hell that we have in our mind here on earth.
Okay, but even that version of hell is not literal what it is. It should never ever say that. It should never be tied with that understanding, and that's why it's so crazy, because the church has tied all this, and the whole world now has picked up on it and tied to that word. So I try to avoid that as much as possible.
That's on that word heat.
Yeah, it talks about the suffering and everything, you know, that we're feeling. So we're not going to suffer once we get there. Now, do you think for any minute that Jesus was upset about his sufferings?
Sure, he was a man.
Now wait a minute. It said for the joy that was set before him, he endured the suffering of the cross.
Okay. And then he also, when he prayed, he said, if this cup be possible.
But if it possible, take this cup from me.
Right.
But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But he knew what was coming, and he knew what pain was like. He knew he was going to do it before he said that. All he was doing was showing you, I'm a human being, and I know what you're going through. So when you go there, if you have a little bit of doubts, or you're feeling maybe it's more than you can handle, you're a little overwhelmed, it's okay. He didn't need to do that. He did that for our benefit, to let us see, I understand you're going to make it. Go on, go through it. Because when you get to the other side, here's the most wonderful thing about the whole thing. Anybody that dies on the face of this earth, where are they going?
Back to where they started.
They're going home. They're going back to God. This thing about, I mean, if somebody, people say you shouldn't be talking this way because that means people won't go to church. Well, good, you know, as far as I'm concerned, because the church is not doing anybody any favors. They're lulling them to sleep. And if God wants you, do you think that anybody could bury you so far that they can't find you?
No.
No way. Let God be God. Just sit back and enjoy the ride. Okay? Just let him do what he wants to do. If he needs to... what did King David do? He went through everything in the world. He was nearly killed by the king, old King Saul. He was threatened all the time. He run and hid in the cave of Adullam, I believe it was. Whatever. Anyway, he went through all these things. He was a liar. He was a thief. He was a murderer. He was an incestuous man. An adulterer. Now, just a few minor things there. I mean, there was
just
a whole
me.
Lot more. Just like everybody else. See? And yet God said, that's a man after my own heart. See? He didn't say, you can't make this flesh be good.
Yeah.
It's what's inside of you.
And there's the whole thing. Everybody's trying to make this flesh be good.
Absolutely. They're making the outside of the cup clean, but the inside's full of all kinds of abominations. Okay? That's what the whole thing's about. It's not about this flesh, you know, because this flesh is repulsive. It is. To the spirit, it's repulsive because it's just going. It's just dirt. It's going back to the dirt. Yeah. Main thing is, know who you are. And experience all this stuff and just move on.
Some days my flesh is dirtier than other days.
No, you're judging it as dirtier.
Let me say that I'm from that. And all he says is, well, just change it.
Well, I don't think you can change your flesh.
Change your thoughts of what's...
Right, and I said you were judging it.
Yeah, just change your thoughts about this.
And you shouldn't be judging that, you know.
No.
Very few people could ever judge themselves right or wrong, you know. Because you'll judge yourself too harshly,
right.
Or you'll judge yourself too leniently. Okay. And only by the Spirit of God can you judge yourself accurately. You know, to be honest about everything about it. Okay, one more verse here. Because the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, and guess what we are? We're the throne also, shall feed them and shall lead them to... what? Living fountains of water. Now, untangle that and tell me what it's saying.
Revelation of the Word.
No. Leads you to living fountains of water. No, there'll be rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. He's going to lead you to people who have this life in them that they can transfer it to you, the knowledge of that life. You've already got it. But there's going to be people. Why do you think he said there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors who teach that are gifts to humanity? Why would you not utilize the gifts that he gave you?
It won't necessarily be transferred, but it'll be...
No, I didn't. I said it, the understanding of what you've already got. The understanding that I have, I can transfer that understanding to you, and then you can say, hey, that's me. And then it's yours. See, it's not mine anymore. Now it's yours. See, you give it away, but you never give it up. Right?
One flowing of water out to the other, like spirit coming together, and then two or three gathered.
In my name, my nature, there I am in the midst of
illumination.
Yeah. It's just a constant process. But he said, but God shall lead them. See, it's not about going out witnessing to the multitudes. It's about God leading you where he wants you. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Who's going to do that?
God.
I didn't hear anything about me doing anything here, did you? Did you see anything there where you're supposed to do anything?
No,
in that last verse?
But what you were saying earlier about transferring something.
Yeah, right, that's something else. We're okay.
Well, see, I mean, so it kind of put a flip-flop thing
honey,
there.
Honey, he gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors who teach to give some, to give information from him to someone else. Okay, so I'm transferring that information to them. When they get the information, guess what? Now they can go with it. You're having trouble with the word transfer.
Right.
You're not understanding what I'm saying to you. Look, any business, you start a business, anything, God's going to do it just like a business. In this, he's going to take his first fruit and give them the information that other people don't have, correct? Okay, and their job is to pass it on to someone else. Is that not true?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I give you something like this right here, I hand it to you, take it. I just transferred it to you. See, you're hung up on semantics and not on what the principle is.
I'm saying that if I already have it,
You're not hearing again. You're caught up on that word, on this. You're caught up on this. And this is not what it's about. It's what I did. I just transferred the understanding. You already had it, but you didn't understand what you had. Okay. See? Isn't that true? Okay, I'm helping you understand what you have. And I said, I'm just transferring information to you so you can understand what you already have.
Okay.
So you wouldn't listen to what I was saying. You missed my thought. Okay. So I'm making it clearer to you now. I'm not doing anything except, what would be the purpose of him putting information in first fruit if it wasn't to pass it to the rest of the body? And didn't he not say that when the apostle said, you do so many great things, he said, why are you worrying about me and wondering about me doing so many great things? You're going to do greater works than I did. See, there's a purpose. Jesus came to give a message. He was a messenger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he gave information to his first fruit, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the first fruit are supposed to give that message to someone else. That's a transference of information. That's all it is. Can you understand that? I don't want you to get hung up on just a word, and that's just a semantic that you don't need to be hung up on something like that. Be free. So, questions?
That last verse, God does it all.
Yeah, that's why I said
flesh,
there's nothing in there about us doing it.
My flesh, the thinking does nothing. It can't do nothing with God. That's awesome.